into the whole color with the state of the hotel. So there's a moment.
They're doing an overnight trip, but it's not like a hotel. They're leaving at 11:30.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the size that it used to be like almost like a 2-night trip. So it used to, I remember, we used to go down in the early morning. We spent the whole day, you know, there's a guy in the sun, and everything's getting in the stage room. The other guys would leave the hotel, like, you know, my son. I was 10 years old, I sent him off, like, I'm sure, over 900 and cooking with
eggs. I'm not invited.
He was like half the size of everybody. Okay. Alright, one of the biggest problems, challenges we have in this room is climate control. So those who are with us the first half of the summer know it's either 30 below here or it's 95 degrees here. So depending on air conditioning in the room. Alright, so let's stay for here. Okay, so this half of the summer we're going to dedicate to a very strange topic. Probably not to figure out what the world of topic is, myself included. I think it's officially called from the rabbi's desk or something like that. So what the goal is going to try to be is, you know, first half of the summer, which I see, I look around and see a couple of familiar faces from them. So we spoke a lot about almost like the background of Torah Shabbat Ben, the sense of the historical development of Torah Shabbat Ben, you know, Hanoi, Roy, Rishonim, different halakim of Torah Shabbat Ben, Sinai, and Iser, and all that kind of stuff. So this is almost like a follow-up to that, but you do not have to have been in the first half to hopefully appreciate the second half. What we're going to try to do now is to really show some real-life scenarios, some real-life shilohs that come up, and we'll try to glean from some of the spirits that I have in the different areas of halacha to try to share with you some of the more colorful shilohs that we have. I mean, all shilohs are important, but some shilohs are a little bit more striking than others. Some definitely grab the attention a little bit better than others. So what we try to do is try to each year try to highlight. But the two shilohs, sometimes a series of shilohs, sometimes it's related shilohs, and to use them a little bit as a springboard, not just to deal with the shilohs per se, but like any rabbi deals with the shilohs, it's not just the awesome look, we have to get a little bit of a background, understand a little bit of the Gemara, and try to walk it through a little bit, almost in the halachic process, how a rabbi thinks, and how to try to answer the shilohs hopefully correctly. But again, we'll try to use some of the more wild, fascinating, interesting ones to keep us awake and slow right now. Okay. So let's typically begin with the following child. Some of you see a couple of the familiar faces from my shoulders, and you may have heard one or two of the shadows of these. So bear with us, because that was also good. And maybe you forgot one or two about the first 10 years. So let's do it. Assuming you're listening first time. So I had a shayla from one of my tamidim. We use this as a springboard shayla. It's shayla from one of my tamidim. So you guys know which child is follows. And he was ready to get engaged. It's a very nice, beautiful, wonderful thing. We're all for that. We're all for marriage. He's ready to get engaged. And this is something which is a part of another discussion, but not quite the stage of life yet. Well, somehow in the last couple of years, a mishagas has entered into our world called staging these grandiose engagement ceremonies. I got engaged not that long ago, 27 years ago. So we just kind of, you know, trying to get engaged, mazel tov, and you know, kind of move on. Now, getting engaged is almost like breaking a cold war. And everyone's got to outdo the next. And, you know, you got it. And if all you did was, you know, take your wife to be to the moon and back, that wasn't enough. Got to take her to Mars also. And everything's got to be like with all the fanfare and all the, and everything's got to be videoed for Shnitzel, because then you have to compare it to three on YouTube, rather than the awesome. So, yeah, if you want my personal opinion, you could probably tell from my cynicism how I feel about that in general, about the idea of tznius and the idea of kedusha, the idea of, you know, just a little bit of humility. But again, that's not the time right now for that discussion. Maybe it should be, but it's not. So, this fellow wanted to get engaged, wonderful, and he had planned a shtick. What was the shtick? The shtick was that he's going to take his collar to be in a helicopter ride, and somewhere a couple thousand feet over there, he is going to propose to her. I hope he had for a big surprise if she says no, but hopefully everything was good to go. What was the shayla? The shayla was a question of yichud. Yichud in the helicopter, what's the shayla? There were going to be three people in the helicopter. There was going to be him, is called to be, and a helicopter pilot. So what kind of yichud? What kind of yichud is that, right? Everyone knows that's okay. Not so simple at all. So let's backtrack a little bit and try to see, is this a problem yichud? And if it is a problem yichud, are there any solutions to this problem yichud? So we're going to use this as the first of our wild discussions. Hold on, we're talking about yichud. So I'm going to share with you one or two other strange yichud shahadas, but actually yichud shahadas that go in the opposite direction. Yichud and halach is usually something that's also it's mishnah, and it's a solution, and the yichud together. But every once in a while, yichud is a good thing. Even is yichud a good thing? It's actually something that you're supposed to do when you get married. That part of the end of the ceremony of getting married is supposed to be nisuin. And again, we'll talk a little bit about this as we go on. According to many Rishonim, nisuin actually requires that the husband and wife go to a yichud room together. They know that right after they go to the chuppah, they dance most of the yichud room. So the term yichud, not in the context of a husband and wife, is something that's also in the context of husband and wife. It's actually halachically required in order for the marriage to be, in a sense, complete, according to all opinions in Rishonim. So, I've had a couple of doozy shaylas over the years in Sadek Kedushin in terms of Yichud. I'll share with you one or two of them, and then we'll try to kind of use this all together to try to get a little bit of a picture as to what Yichud is and what it's not, maybe it's a then, maybe mitzvah. So I once was in Sadek Kedushin, and we danced the Chazakal into Yichud room, and the rabbi usually goes in just to make sure everything's okay, you know, it's fine, but the bed, no one's in the closet, make sure there's no one else around. And I noticed that there were the window, in the Yichud room. There were no shades on the window of the Yichud room. And the Yichud room was not very high up, first floor. It was overlooking the parking lot. There were some very people walking back and forth to their cars. There's a chassan kal smell they go into Yichud. Sounds like a pretty terrible situation. Yichud, hey, forget about the time of these issues. That, is that called Yichud? Everybody's looking in, the doors are locked, the windows locked, but everyone sees. Is that called Yichud? So that's a loaded, loaded question. And if that is if it's not called yichud, then we have a problem because to get this marriage to be complete, we want there to be yichud. Should we one next to Shaila about yichud in terms of the yichud room, and then we'll try to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Once we're in Kedusha, we come to the yichud room, and we come to the following realization. There are two doors to the yichud room. Okay. It's a big deal. The problem is that the two doors are located on two different sides of the hallway, and we'll talk about this as we go on. In order for the yichud to be acceptable for what is unpossible, we have to have eidim on the yichud. So how are the two eidim going to see both doors? It's physically impossible. They can only see what we are, can't see around the bed. So what do you think the answer is going to be?
I'm
why not get four eidim, right? More people could give brachas on the chuppah, throw them into the extra eight yichuds. They have four eidim. Anyone see a potential problem with that? There's a halacha that says that you can't be made on something unless you see the entire picture. It's called dov lo chatzi dov. You only see half a story. It's eyes only half a story, like you were talking about before. I see half a story, and the other guy sees the other half a story. Two eidim see one half a story. The other. Half and half doesn't equal a whole in lochus eidim. And now we have a big tickle over here because here my job is in the sacrifices to make sure that this couple gets married. That's what I'm being asked to do. And yichud is required, at least according to the Rambam. And eidus is required on the yichud according to many Pelskim. And for sure, in terms of how we're going to pull off the studs. The rabbis had to figure out some ingenuity, creativity on the spot. We usually don't have too much plans for this. So on the spot, we have to figure out how to solve these problems. So these are the three dilemmas we're going to try to discuss. One of them addressing the isra of yichud. A couple that's in the helicopter up there, waiting for an answer for that one. Then we have this poor couple that's standing there in the yichud room with the windows wide open, and you know, how long we can get them married. And then you have this third couple that was scratching heads trying to figure out how the eidim are going to stand in the heads in order to try and watch two things at the same time, physically impossible. So let's see if we can talk through this thing a little bit. So let's first define a little bit what the term yichud means, particularly in terms of the isra, because that's really where sugya begins. So the Mishnah in Masechet Kedushin, the other Masechet Kedushin tells us that there's a prohibition of Yichud. That's step one. So Mishnah 1 is a prohibition of Yichud. Where is the source for the prohibition of Yichud? Where does it come from? How did the Mishnah have the Tanakh know it's true?
Remnants from a couple of stories in the Pasuk.
Yeah, it's a little rebuttal, drush, and very, very unclear exactly the whole Sugya says about his own Kedushin. Bottom line is, there's a din of Yichud. And the Gemara says, and I said to the Zohar, that this din of Yichud is derived from a pasuk, is a real din d'oraisa. Well, every once in a while, when the Gemara quotes a pasuk for something, that's not always a dead giveaway that it's d'oraisa. Every once in a while, the Gemara will say that even though we quote a pasuk, it's a throwback to the first half of the summer, it's really a what? It's really a d'rabbanan. The pasuk is kind of there as an allusion, a hint of something as a d'rabbanan. The pasuk doesn't really, really mean that 100%. But here the Gemara is pretty clear about that. Here the Gemara says explicitly in the sense of a desire that Yichud is an Issa D'Oraisa. However, not every case of Yichud is an Issa D'Oraisa. And we also throw back to the summer. Again, even those along with us, we'll fill you in very quickly. The Gemara fleshes out the Issa of Yichud and says that sometimes Yichud is also in the Torah, and sometimes it's also in the Rabbanan. If the woman involved is an Erva to you, then the Issa of Yichud is an Issa D'Oraisa. Unless it's a very, very close error, like your mother, your sister, like that, you're allowed to have yichud with, but let's say it's an ish, it's another kind of error to you, so then the prohibition of yichud would be a deraisa that can profit. If the woman is a pnuya, she is a single girl, then the iser yichud would only be midrabban, and remember who made that zera, we mentioned that, we even summer, David HaMelech, he must have David HaMelech made a zera. After the terrible story in the Shmuel about his own children, Tamar, so David HaMelech made a gezeira that Yichud with the Pnuya would be only awesome with the Rabbanan. Some of your wheels are turning and say, ooh, awesome with the Rabbanan. We're good to go, right? When you have the Rabbanan, they have the Rabbanan, we can finagle the way out of it, so the Rabbanan. Bad approach. Why is that a bad approach? Because Yichud with a single girl today will be an Issa D'Oraisa.
Nida.
Because the woman's a Nida. In the olden days, the girl wasn't necessarily a Nida, because the old days when they kept her with Batara and Kutchin, and the Shane, and Truman, etc. So single girls went to the full time, they had to come to Holger to involve themselves in the Rumpshah of Kedusha. Today, we no longer have those things, so the only reason a woman would ever go to the Mikvah would be retire herself for her husband. If she's single, she should not go to the Mikvah anyway. So, bottom line is, all single girls today, after the age of whatever age they begin to become Nidas, so we have to assume that she's a real bona fide need and there's missing from the Nantara. So we have a real problem. We have the nice thing to pop up in the helicopter. Comes the Gemara and says, not so soon. Yichud is true if you have one man and one woman. What if you have two men and one woman? Is that missing Yichud? Anyone else? Oh, so it's a tricky Gemara. Gemara first starts up by saying, yeah, two men, Shabbat's mutter, great, everything's great. So your wheels are turning. Ooh, the helicopter pilot is a man, and I'm a man, and she's a woman. Right, well, two men, one woman, must be wrong. Comes and says, not so simple, not so posh. Says the Gemara that the man, the man, the woman, is permissible, two men and one woman. That's if the men are ksherim. But if the men are prutzim, they're not so careful in the area of these halachos. There's much more reason to be concerned, and then the Issa Yichud would come back to life. So I don't know, I don't want to vouch for the food cat level of the non-Jewish helicopter pilot, but I can only go on what the odds are in today's world. It's hard to imagine that a regular guy off the street is necessarily a kosher, so to speak, in this kind of area, and therefore we would have to invoke the sugya of Kedusha that says, two men and one woman, unless you know for certain that they're both kosher, would be a problem. Now, there is a big machlokes of Shem, just this Gemara, the details of this Gemara. The Gemara says that the men have to be kosher. How kosher is kosher? How do you measure? What barometer do you use? Measure kosher, does anyone know? So Gemara tells a very, very frightening story, frightening statement in the end of his Kedushin. Gemara tells a story about one of the Amorai who said that, I'm not kosher, he said, not me. Maybe that other big top deck over there, me. I'm just a regular Amira. That doesn't bode well for us. So that's the bad news. The good news is that many of the Rishonim, including what we generally accept the halacha, say that was a midas chasidus. That wasn't really that halacha. The real halacha is if a guy's kosher, it's good. For Rishonim, it's good. Yeah, you know, he's okay. That Amari didn't want to be machzik himself as being a kosher, but that was not really a midas. So, what real standards do we use? First, has to be from Shabbat mitzvahs. We hear Shabbat Shabbos, Shabbat Kashrus, anything else. More than that, just because he's Shabbat Shabbos and Kashrus is not enough. What does he have to be? Kosher in what area of halacha? In this area. He has to be somebody who has a good reputation. So he's a normal man. That seems inappropriate. Once you have an individual who does things, is known to be doing things that are inappropriate, so then he loses his Kashrus in this area. Now, here the Tosafot point out, that it gets a little bit tricky. Where do you draw the line exactly? You know, at one point, I don't want to put fingers at anybody or categorize anybody, but suffice it to say that a person is not really up to par in this area of halacha, so it's hard to call a kosher for these purposes. So getting back to the story, this helicopter pilot is probably not a reach kosher for you. So therefore, we have some problems, right? We got two men and one woman, but one of the men is a possible. Is a problem. Any ideas? Any suggestions?
Pesach
Pasuach L'Shus HaRabim. Well, now that's going to be loaded because that's going to lead to our window shiloh. So the Gemara says that if you have a doorway that's open to the street, so then that's okay. Then there's no yichud. There's a big machlokes that we showed him. Rabbi Pelskin, what does that mean? The door's open. Say, would you say this door in this room is Pesach Pasuach L'Shus? Let's say there would be a man alone in this room alone. Would you say that's called Pesach Pasuach L'Shus HaRabim?
Before you specify that, like in the case of the open window, it was like one story up.
So we get that problem. So let's just back down for a second. So what would you say about this room? This room, a man and woman inside this room, doors closed, what do you think?
I think it is the same one could walk in.
Who wants to argue?
If you lock the door,
it's closed.
Doors closed, windows
are closed. Doors closed, windows shades, no one can see inside. That's a major machlokes in the book. Some are going to ride. Pesach Pasuach, it's got to be the doors flung wide open. Everyone can just stick their head in right away. Everyone can see exactly where. That's going to be a tremendous deterrent to prevent the couple from being closed together. However, if the door is closed, it's a problem. And other people say, no, what do you mean? The door's closed. Anyone can walk. Anyone's coming to night shear on time. Anyone's coming to every home shear. Anyone's coming to whatever else they use this room for. It's fine. We need to dive in the line of room to use this room for. So people come all the time. So that's enough to call Pesach Pasuach L'Shus. So the answer to that question probably depends. But yesh v'yesh. It's a very, very common shadow. Very common. It's generally reached the stage of dating. So it's a very, very common shadow. Let's say you have a girl lives, with myself in an apartment or something. The boy comes back, brings it back from a date, he wants to move to the house for a minute. Is that called Pesach Pasuach L'Shus? Assuming that the front door is, leads to the place where there are people. So they leave the door flung wide open. It's one thing. The one who closes the door a little bit is that Pesach Pasuach L'Shus. The door is closed, but it's not locked. So Pesach says, depends where you live. If you live in a place like one big happy bungalow colony, people just walk into people's houses, just like that without knocking, and just sits here, and maybe you can argue that's Pesach Pasuach L'Shus, but that's not true with my mother's death. If you would walk past the guy's house, and you happen to notice that the door's unlocked, you would just barge in. I mean, assuming that's not, it's like one cold, something like you lived in a normal place, right? You just got you onto a guy's apartment. So it's very, very hard to argue that under these kind of circumstances, that's what the soap is about. But
in the case where I was discussing with the apartment, would there also be after roommates?
Are the rumors around? Well, are the rumors coming? We know that they're coming back, right? That's another issue. Let's say the rumors are out of town. Each case to be different. Again, let's just back there for a second. So there is a head there theoretically called Pesach Pasuach L'Shus, but on a helicopter, it's kind of hard to envision that. Who's going to climb the helicopter? So somebody mentioned, well, you could see, depending how high it's hovering around. So then they knew there's a famous shooting way, right? And if you can see through a window, maybe that's also from Pesach Pasuach L'Shus. That may be very helpful, not for helicopters, but for...
Problematics.
I think like by Menorah, you see that if you're like 30 stories up, it's not going...
Very good, excellent.
So wouldn't that be the same here that like, that's like the sheer that you can no longer
see? I think you're right. I think helicopters are much higher than
they would be. Yeah, it would be higher. So
I think so, absolutely. I think you're right. 100% right.
Right,
so the windows open probably not help too much for helicopters. They may help for cars. It's a big shot in the bus coming about. You're driving in a car, unless you have tinted windows. Some people drive tinted with a car, that's for other reasons, not for to avoid yichud problems. So we'll leave out those gory details for nothing else. So the bottom line is this helicopter doesn't sound too good. Sounds like we're in a little bit of a pickle over here. And we have a potential listen yichud. We have two men and one woman, but the problem is one of the men is a parents. So he's not really gonna solve the problem. Pesach Pasuach L'Shus doesn't seem to be too helpful over here. And what do we have left? Any ideas?
Maybe the Mara is just discussing what it's two groups of two shares.
Yeah, the Gemara says if it's one woman and a female Sara fruits, the Gemara says it's the brown. So it sounds like it's a
brown.
Yeah, I think so. Because if you assume the parts are not really going to protect you, it's not going to prevent you. So any ideas, just hey, come on, the rabbi's asked. The rabbi's stuck. I even ate some of his Talmud. I told him not to take that one, but that wasn't an option.
Maybe they're not technically in the same room together?
I don't know, it's the kind of helicopter that travels around. You know, for years, you don't even have to be in a room. Let's say you have a room off the forest somewhere. It's a very secluded area that's also in a room.
How big is the helicopter?
What?
How big is the helicopter?
How big is the helicopter? I don't know. So I told them, they did not like this answer. This was not a good way to win the fans. I told them, bring
okay.
Bring your room in a little bit. We'll take the pictures anyway. Stick with the bad helicopter. The Airbus and all this, and the Mazel Tov will be in touch with you to bring your friend along. I said, make sure he's alive.
Gosh,
two guys and a girl, and a helicopter to fly and pilot that thing. So it's interesting, there was another Eitzah that I don't think this was practical. This is the fascinating Eitzah that some folks suggested in other scenarios. Maybe it would be better, catch this one, if there was no pilot. But rather what?
He was fine.
What if he was a pilot? Somebody knows how to fly. Like Tom and they wrote fly. Billy wrote the car. So why would that potentially be better?
Because there's no issue they're not doing anything.
Oh, so that's it's a very well Mr. Shah Yichud. Let's say I have a couple where the state of Yichud, so physically they're in Yichud, but there happens to be a scenario playing out here that it will be absolutely impossible for them to do that. It would be not shy. It's not bad. It's impossible. It can't happen. Why can't it happen? Because the minute that he takes his hands off the controls, he's going to be dead. So, I don't know too much about helicopters. I don't know the automatic pilots on helicopters. So some folks can raise this question, not even helicopters. They raise a shot about planes. A real shot. And then a small plane. Well, not such a crazy thing. Not so many small planes. So, it's a good thing for a date. Very sticky thing for a day. I don't do it. I don't necessarily do it on the first day. I mean, wait till the third or fourth. And I take you around on a day and fly to Virginia. Who knows? Fly to Virginia back. A nice, inexpensive evening together. So is that okay? So some folks will want to argue that, well, maybe that's what they're doing. Unless the plane goes on what? It's all a pilot. It's all a pilot. And then you get back the problem again. I don't know enough about pilots to be able to answer that question. So the helicopter that was really off limits, I thought it was not really going to be a problem. So not every problem has a solution. Some solutions you don't like too much, but yeah, tell you about it. So what did we learn from this crazy story? So hopefully we'll remember some of the dinim that we talked about, because you tend to remember things when they're associated with cuckoo things. So we learned a little bit about the basic dinim yichud derais at that moment. We learned a little bit about the idea of two and one, Sherem and Prutzim, how do you define Prutzim? Questionable. We spoke a little bit about Pesach and Sukkot Shesaravim. This is most probably not applicable, the Yerai Kochanik was very good Raya, probably not applicable. And then we spoke about this potential issue that you can solve the problem almost. If you have a scenario where it's impossible to be Chaytay, maybe that would be more balanced. There is another possibility here that can maybe mitigate things. Any ideas? Maybe this would maybe solve the problem. It's going to be maybe sometimes after a while. Also, what can we stick out to this helicopter? Maybe solve the problem. Maybe chains that can't be opened, but that's going to be very it's not going to go well for the proposal part of the show.
Camera.
Ooh, camera. Maybe have a phone just. Zoom on in, let someone zoom into this event over here. What if I really ask you, everybody said, can that qualify as a what? Almost like a what?
What if the connection cuts out?
Oh, yeah, it's a bit meager. I don't know. Last week we went, some of their families and their mother went on the underground tunnel tours of the new things, and then the Padre and the Vidas, you know, to the public, and so they gave us a tour. So we were about 500 feet underground, and my phone rang. It was like a perfectly clear, crystal clear connection. I said, I can't. So I'm staying at the traffic circle. It was power.
So that means there are no.
Could one argue that a video, something watching, something that the connection is there, could one argue that's a shtickle like a test episode of Shus Rabin almost? Or maybe not even necessarily a test episode of Rabin. Maybe you don't even need Rabin. Maybe if you have like somebody who's watching, say for example, the person's mother's watching him, that's a great way to get engaged. Have your mother was zooming in on you at the same time. I can imagine your father, your mother, your little sister, they're all rooting you on and watching to make sure that that nothing happens. So could one argue that may some folks can have that idea. It was very, very tricky. You know, and, therapists have a lot of these kind of styles. You know, from therapists, you know, a man is you know, a psychologist is speaking with a woman client or vice versa. So, you know, unlike other kinds of professions, you know, a dentist, the door's wide open, you know, the secretary walks in, the dental assistant walks in, you know, people are all around. They usually go for therapy, so it's a little more of a secluded area. So it's a whole shy about what can you possibly do? Can you have a camera on? Assuming that the person, assuming that the patient, the, you know, the client is okay with that, and you know it's being connected to somebody else's, you know, protected and watched all the time. That's a tricky shy. It's not so simple. It's interesting, you know, that idea of cameras. Is a camera almost like there's somebody there or not? We had this is a wild shy. This is one of the crazies. This Corona shy at its best. This was a year and a half ago, almost a year and a half ago, right at the very beginning of COVID. It was right before Pesach, and the RCBC, the Vav and the Vav and the Tinek. So we, besides all the 3,000 restaurants that we have in Shabbos on, we have in a couple of nursing homes also. So me, as a nursing home, so one place that we have a Shkocha on. So we had a big, big crisis right before Pesach. That we couldn't get anybody to stay there on Yantif. Couldn't get anybody to service the Mashkiach on Yantif. First of all, nobody wanted to be anywhere. And the regular Mashkiach has to be more in quarantine. So it was a total chaos. And we had a very, very serious situation where we had a whole, you know, it's not like restaurant can close down, can't close down nursing home. So there were a few people that were lying, people that were actually going over there. They're not going anywhere. And trying to provide them kosher food. So, what do you do? How do you deal with that? So, you know, again, these are very, very extenuating kinds of circumstances. We would, you know, in theory, we could have a Mashkiach from afar. You could have cameras set up anywhere in the kitchen there. And you could have a Mashkiach 5,000 miles away, you know, theoretically watching and snooping and make sure that everything is being done properly. Anyway, whatever. Just have a Jew, a Shomshav person's presence or premises could theoretically be accomplished by a child with extended circumstances. What was the problem?
No.
If you see something happen, you can immediately call the manager, you can see.
On Yontif?
It was Yontif. Yontif, Shabbos. Very nice. I'm sitting by the Leva Seder. Allah might see my mishkan and watching the camera in the kitchen of the nursing home, and no one bring any comments. That's not going to work. So we had a crazy setup in place that one of the rabbanim was involved in Ashkocha. So he happened to have had a non-Jew in his house taking care of an elderly parent in his house. So can you imagine this? You have a non-Jewish aide who's watching the camera of the nursing home. One non-Jew is watching another non-Jew, and the non-Jew here is supposed to report back to me to tell me if he sees anything funny, like if he sees all of a sudden a worker coming with a hot dog on a bun or something, you know, we know that there's trouble. The good news, it was the heat of COVID, no one was budging anywhere anyway. There's no place to bring comments if you want to bring comments from. But anyway, so that was the setup in theory. In the end, all's well that ends well. We found some guy Price is Right, with only some strong guy, and no place to go. Because I think his parents were in quarantine, so I don't know what happened. He had nowhere to go for the Seder, so he was more than happy to make a few bucks and sit in the kitchen of this nursing home to watch. So we didn't have to resort to this crazy camera situation. But again, you have to shield up for the rabbi's desk. You gotta be creative, especially when things are crazy and the world is nuts. You have to be very, very creative to try to find things that can potentially work up the other. Anyway, getting back to the story. So I think the best aid to here was actually to bring something else along. That's what I would suggest.
Do we assume that people are Putin or Kosher?
Depends who they are. You know, non-Jews, I think, have to smoke Putin. You know, unless you know the guy that's from Shomot, I mentioned some of the care from this area. It's a tricky world out there.
By the case where recently, like let's say someone's in this room, but the door's unlocked, is that similar to a case of conscious, where like at any point
right, someone can come, right. We're going to talk a little bit more about some conscious, some crazy conscious things that come along. So we'll come back to those things.
So a camera is not good?
If a yichud, you know, I would say if you're really, really stuck, you know, cameras are tricky because sometimes they don't always work, and type of Zooms sometimes freeze, as we all know. We'll have our experiences with disasters with Zooms over the years. So it's not the best setup. Sometimes there's a sniff local, so we'll throw that in for the run.
Does it have to be a live stream, or if it's recorded and then somebody can watch it afterwards?
I don't know. I love this in cameras, but I don't know.
If the yichud room is the door is not locked,
does
that still
count as yichud? Oh, wait, so now we're going to bridge right. So you leave me right into the next part. So up until that, we've been talking about the yichud you don't want to have. Now it's not about the yichud that you do want to have, by the chukur. Okay? Another question? Sorry? Okay.
And also two doors.
Yeah, we got the whole thing to talk about. Okay. So first of all, why would the yichud have a yichud? Where did it come from? What was that based on? So the Gemara is very, very clear. The Shai is very clear. The Gemara is very clear. There are two stages in marriage in Allah. There's Kedushin, there's Nisuin. Kedushin, quite one of the first mentioned Kedushin. Kesef Shtabia. How do you know there's a second stage? Anyone know the Chumash doesn't talk about second stage?
Is it by the Yitzchak?
I mean, it's alluded to a little bit in second gracious, but it's more explicit than that. The Torah speaks in a few places about different halachas that apply. The woman is only in Arusa, not in Asua. Remember Parshat Matos? There's a whole sugya, the beginning of Parshat Matos. Also, there's something about if a married woman takes a neder, what the status of that neder is, we can cancel the neder. So the Torah first speaks about if Hayosi Elish is just a resin, it's a kedusha, and then it says Beis Yishosh, she's in her husband's house. So the Torah itself talks about different kinds of stages of marriage. Well, it's in the Moshul, the Torah says in Parshat Shoftim, when you go out to war, anyone who just got married but didn't come to the marriage yet, so he gets a buy from the drift. He did Erisin, which is the same as Kedusha, but he didn't finish. So the Torah talks explicitly about the two stages of marriage. There's no question there's Erisin in this. In the olden days, the custom used to be, I say it's a word, the custom was they would separate between Kedusha and Nisuin by how long?
A year.
About a year. That was standard practice. So let's say the man would give her a ring, he'd be a kaddish in front of Redim, and then, take it like, he would go back to his house, she'd go back to our house, she'd get her preparation for the wedding, he'd make his preparation for the wedding, and then get back the other year later. That was the old style of it. It doesn't have to be a year. It could take 6 months, it could take 2 years, it could take 3 weeks. There's no din. But the standard custom is that was approximately a year. Anyone know when that changed? Well, history. Give me a hint, that's something to do with what we spoke a lot about on Tishba, Crusades. On the Crusades. In the days of the Crusades were in the first Crusades was the year 1096, the days of Rashi. There was a big problem. The problem was that Jewish communities were upheaval, total turmoil. Going and coming, invading Jewish communities, Jews were running right and left for their lives. If you have a woman who, let's say she lives in one city and her husband to be is in another city, and now we can't find him, we can't find her, no one knows who's alive, who's not, she becomes an amuna. Because once a woman has kiddush, she requires a get. So, if your husband's wives were technically halachically linked to one another, they're bound to one another, but they're not living together, that's a very, very dangerous. I mean, if you have everyone's peaceful, nothing's happening, so right, let us to each other, eventually, that would be great. But if you have any wars and crusades, it's a very, very bad situation. Therefore, we're sharing an institute of practice, that we're going to cut down the amount of time between the Kedusha and the Nisuin drastically. We're going to cut it down very, very significantly. To how long?
15 minutes or so.
Yeah, about 5 minutes or so. Okay? There's no din, there never was a din how long it has to be. That's what we do. So we have the Kedushin, and then we have the Nisuin right away. We have the Sheva process. The Chuva is the Nisuin, the beginning of the Nisuin process. So we want to make a little bit of a hefsek. You want to know why? Why do we want to make a little bit of a break? We don't want to do it right away. Why?
We're reading the Ksuva, we need the separation.
That's the break, right? That's exactly right. Rashi instituted that practice. Read the Ksuva, there's no thing you have to read the Ksuva. You have to write it, you have to read the Ksuva. So the reading soup was a good waste of time. It was a stalled waste for a few minutes. Why do we want to waste time for it? To do this?
Rachash.
Not even Zechar. It's the Tefra Halachic problem.
brachas on the yayin?
Yeah, it's very technically shibor pre bracha. Both kedushin and suda is supposed to have a kosher yayin. You can't make two more pre brachas, one right after the brachas and tzicha. So make a little bit of a hefsek. So you read the tzuva. So some rabbis feel that no, it's not enough a hefsek. You have to be machmir. Choladei, that's what I do. We go long in drasha on the chuppah. Just to get to have the whole days. So the minig is reading super chill. That's enough for our task. So you finish your Nusha Bayt, you sue it. What is the sue? How do you do the sue? Kedusha, the Prince of Shabbat.
You go into a third.
Believe it or not, the Gemara talks about the sue a thousand different times. But the Gemara never tells us what to do. The Gemara never says how to do it. So there was Machlek, he said, Hashem, what are you supposed to do exactly? Give me an idea, give me an answer, what am I supposed to do? So, the Rambam writes, you know what the suit is? Go into a yichud room. Husband and wife go into a symbolic room together, close the door. That's the suit of the halakha. And the Rambam calls it different practice. So what the Rambam says, you know what the suit is? You don't have to go into a locked room or a locked door. You have to go into a symbolic home. That's the whole goal of Nisuin. Basically, Shabbat is going to buy you some house, but you go to a very, very symbolic house. What's the bare bone minimum of a house? What do you need for a house?
4 walls.
You need 4 walls. You need a roof. It doesn't have to be so fancy, right? It doesn't have to be locked up. You can have doors coming and going. Guess what? If you put up 4 poles and you put something on top of it, you almost have a what? It's almost like a tzuris habesek a little bit, almost like an air a little bit, throw a roof on so it doesn't rain inside. And what do you have? You said it. You have a chuppah. It says, well, that's the suin. You stand on the chuppah together. Wow. That's a very, very different picture. According to the Rambam, it's a locked door, no one coming in, no one going out. According to the Rambam, it's open. The Chutanba, they have ones, they have the Chutanba, they have the florist, they have the caterers, they have the rabbi, they have ones on the roof. I tell young couples that the imagery of those two chuppahs, those two suins are very different. Say because there are different times of life. There's some times in life when your door is wide open, everyone's coming and going, it's after a bell. And there are other times you haven't really closed the door and tell them to get lost in a nice way, respectful way, and spend some time with your own family. So everyone's got to, you have to know how to balance those two things together. There's a story about the Rukhshayim. The Rukhshayim Brisker was an unbelievable great Rukhshayim. They said about Rukhshayim that the reason why people don't tell stories about his Rukhshayim because he was such a great Tavchach, they forgot what a Gemu Chesed he was. He was like the world class Gemu Chesed to such an extent that he used to have like the homeless people living in his house. Anytime there was a person would have a baby, they want the baby, they just dump the baby on his doorstep. Babies living in the house, he had homeless people. It was a total, complete after belt. We think of Chaim sitting right in the conditions around he was, but it was also his house was mamish. The suah for Hefka would call. So they asked the Brisker Rav, the Rav's son, which was his son, he asked him, what was it like growing up in the house of your father, house of Chaim? He said it was like living in a Rishis HaRabim, which was a public area. So Brisker Rav, if I had one of the chances, Brisker Rav said, he said, even Rishis HaRabim has a certain gvul to it. It ends somewhere. He said, my house. He said, it wasn't even worse than Rosh Hashanah. He said, it was a total chaos. Anyway, so bottom line is, Machlek is Rishon, what is the Nesud of Chazal? For this reason, what do we do? What's that practice? We do everybody. You know what? We want to make sure we're married. At the end of the day, you're making $100,000 for a wedding, you want to make sure at least you're married. You call everybody. Should be heaven, right? That's pretty silly to waste so much money there. Oh, quite summer show 30 years later. Well, they have to show me not married. So we do the summer for the holidays. Standing on the chuppah, that's easy. So therefore, right after the chuppah is over, then we rush them off to the yichud room and show. The Sfarim taka, a lot of Sfarim don't do the yichud room. You know what their yichud room is? Yeah, when they get home, then they go home and lock the door and try. That's better than you do. So, but we have a practice that we do a makeshift in the room following the chuppah, and therefore we fulfill all the shittas that we're sharing as to what the Nisuin is.
According to the Rambam, who says that the chuppah is Nisuin, the second day standard of the chuppah, wouldn't that make Nisuin before Harrison?
Ooh, that's a bomb concept. Very, very good. Excellent question. So, one of two things. So, there's a Mishnah Melech that says that maybe you're family, maybe you're not Nisuin, then you have condition afterwards, which is a very strange idea. Or one can argue that the Nisuin kicks in after the condition happens, and they're still sick. It's not a din, you have to go under the chuppah. It's a long lesson. Under the chuppah, then you have to go under the chuppah. Under the chuppah. So that's also considered to be a good enough for the purpose of the Seder. So the bottom line is that we want the Yichud Purim to be done right. So why do you do it right? Doesn't the definition of the Yichud Purim have to be whatever would have constituted an Nisa Yichud now becomes the halacha that requires Yichud? So what stands in the Yichud? That the Yichud Purim with windows. Why open the windows? Let's see everyone look it in. It's a pretty miserable Yichud. So that's a good shtick, like real shtick, that's a good shtick. But the Chorah, this Yichud room was problematic. Any solutions, any ideas? These were the rabbis got to wear a lot of different hats.
There probably was another room in the building.
Yeah, you know, the caterers, they'll drive you nuts. You can't drive your caterers. This is the room that's in there.
And just cover the windows?
Yeah, you could do that. You got something to cover with. Yeah. You think something creative. So I thought of something creative. I told the couple they should stand all the way in the corner at the angle that no one could see you. You stand, you know, with the windows on here, you stand all the way in the corner, no one would be able to see in. It's a big, fairly large room. What was the problem? The problem was the food was all set up for them in the middle of the room. We needed the chazakah, you need the fastest, you should eat. So that's where the rabbi has to put on a lot of hats. So I became a caterer. So I picked up the table myself. There's no job to loaf around. I picked up the table itself. I carried the table over to where they want the chazakah on the mountain. I carried over the chairs for them. I set them up a beautiful little buffet, right? I told them, don't budge from that angle of the room. I said, and then it only comes here by the clay you were. My husband and wife has done it. Allah will declare that that's called Yisroel. So again, the idea of trying to impress upon you when you have shaylas, so you have to try to figure out what the name is, and then you got to try to figure out what the mitzvah is, then you got to try to think on the spot, think out of the box sometimes, or come up with something interesting, creative ideas. Okay, yeah.
What about the two doors in the hallway?
Oh, that's next shot. Okay, we'll for next time. Next shot. Okay. When is our next year, by the way?
Thursday.
Okay, hopefully this year. So Thursday, remind me to pick up with that, the two doors in the hallway, and then, yeah.
So for the
windows,
how long do they have to stay in the corner?
Oh, okay. We have to wait until next show. We'll talk about that. How long
do
you
decide? Did the Edom have to go through the window?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Edom. We'll talk about the Edom. That's the next part of the show.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, we're going to turn off the lights.